Begin the current daf mesach, the Shabbos daf ayin zayin. Begin on the bottom of ayin davar and beis, the bottom line. Where the Gemara continues discussing the first item of our mission, which talks about our whole parak, discusses different items of hoitzah, of transporting something from one domain to another domain on Shabbos, and talks about the minimum amount that's necessary for it to be considered hoitzah. So the first item our mishnah spoke about was taking out wine on Shabbos. So he said that the wine in the times of the Gemara was very strong, and they had to dilute it before they came to drink it. So it said that regarding the chiv of Itzah of Yain, it was kedei meziges hakoyis. The amount of wine that, when it's diluted, it would be the type of cup that you would normally drink, that's the amount of wine. And that is, as the Gemara previously said, that's a quarter of a revius. That is generally a kois yafa, a cup that was used for birchas hamazon, was a revius, revius alog. That's what we use today by kiddush and all the different things. And therefore, you have to take out a quarter of that, because when you're going to dilute that with the amount of water that's necessary, it's going to result in the revius. So therefore, the amount of wine that's necessary for the chiv of Itzah is a quarter of a revius. So the Gemara continues on this now. Amar Rava, we continue on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Rava says that this is what we learned also in our Mishnah. We could understand from there that that is the shear of the amount of wine necessary. That would be a quarter of a revius. That is, as the Gemara is going to explain, from the fact that by all the other beverages, we said that the chiv of Haitzah is revius. That's how much the minimum it's necessary for it to be considered a Haitzah. That's chashav, something that's considered transporting. From there you see, from all the other types of beverages, that considering it's something haitzah, transporting for a beverage, is only something that's fit to drink, and that's not less than a revius. And therefore, when we're being mishai, when we're giving the measurements for wine, that we, as we said, that's for the kais of bracha, that's a shear that's fit for have to be revius, so therefore the wine would be a quarter of revius. And that is because, when, as the Gemara is going to explain, that Rav Ashita is, that when you go ahead and you dilute the wine, you use three parts water to one part wine, and therefore that's going to be the amount that's fit for drinking, as we said, that we see by all the beverages, it needs revius, so therefore the amount of wine necessary is a quarter of revius, because you're taking three parts water to one part wine, that's going to be together the shear of revius that's necessary for beverages. As the Gemara says, said in the Mishnah, Mitzi Yain Kedei Meziges Kais, that someone to be chayef for haitzah, transporting of wines, the amount that it would be necessary to dilute it, to mix it together and make a cup of wine, that's how it's drunk in the times of the Gemara. But Tanya Allah, and we learned on that, how, what is that, what type of cup? As the Gemara said previously, Kedei Meziges Kais Yafa, the amount that would be necessary to mix it, to make a nice cup, which is the cup of Birchas Hamazon, which is necessary revius. But Ketani Seif, in the end of our Mishnah, learned the Shar Kalamashkim revius, that we see that all the other beverages are necessary, it has to be revius. And therefore, we see that, again, for the share of Itzah of Yayin, it has to be a quarter of revius. That way, when you're going to dilute it, it's going to turn into the full revius. As the Gemara says, V'Rava L'Tameh, that really this is Rava L'Shitas, according to his previous opinion about how wine is normally diluted and mixed together. Because Rava said that any wine that's not mixed on the ratio of three portions of water to one part wine, lav chamer, it's not wine. And therefore, again, since he holds that the way it's diluted is with three parts water and one part wine, again, that makes a lot of sense how you could prove from our Mishnah that since all beverages are revius, and now we're saying that the cup of wine has to be the amount that'll be a chash of a cup, which is again the revius, therefore it has to be one part wine to one, three parts water, and therefore that's, again, that's going to be a quarter of revius. However, Abaye says there's two rebuttals for what you are saying, Rava, and therefore it's, you can't bring a proof from our Mishnah that again the shear of the wine is going to be a quarter of a revius, or revius, or revius. Chada, one is Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah that your whole premise of that you, the way they dilute wine is 3-1, it's not true. Rather, it's a ratio of 2-1, as we learned in the Mishnah, as we learned in Masechtas Nida, that there's five different types of blood that's considered tameh coming from a woman. And one of them is what's called kemuzig. That's called like when the wine is diluted. And there the Mishnah explains, what's this type of muzig that I explained to you? That's two parts water to one part wine. As the Gemara brings, v'amuzig, shnei chelki mayim eche yayin. It's not true. We see the dilution of wine is not three parts water to one part wine. Rather, it's two parts water to one part wine, as the Mishnah says, minayayin esheroni, as the wine from the Sharon region, which is a type of a region there, Tisrael. So again, so that's the first point. That premise is that you're wrong, that it's not going to be a quarter revius. That way, when you'll mix, it'll be a revius, because it's not true. It's not three parts water to one part wine. It's two parts water to one part wine. As you see, one of the simanim of dam nida, the five different shades of color of red that would make a nida considered tummy, is considered mazig. And it says, what is the mazig? How do we dilute the wine? It's two parts water to one part wine. Void, and another thing is, Mayim bechad umitztarfen. Could it be that the water is going to be in the barrel and it's going to mix together? In other words, if you're going to say, Rava, that the reason of our Mishnah is that the reason why it's considered chashav a haitzah, as if you're transporting something of substance, of wine, that it's a quarter of aviz, because when you're going to mix it, then it's going to be fit for drinking, it'll be a aviz then because of all the water that you're mixing into it. But now, right now, when you're taking out the wine, it's not mixed yet. And there's no shear of water inside here. It's still in the jug of that the water's in. So therefore, how could you join that together to be mechayev the wine to say that, oh, because that's the share of revius? But you don't have the revius. You only have a quarter, and it wasn't even mixed yet. So obviously, Abai's telling him that the reason is not because that it's fit for drinking, which is a revius, as all other beverages. Rather, here the shear is as it is. Even if you're going to mix it, it's not going to be revius. It has nothing to do with revius. You can't prove from our Mishnah anything, because here it has nothing to do with that, because here it's not even mixed yet. It can't be considered the chash of a drink of wine, because it's not mixed. You don't have that revius. And therefore, who cares that when you're going to mix it, it's going to be that. It's not that right now. So obviously, Abai is saying your premise of understanding the chiv of itzav yayin, because when it's going to be mixed, it's going to be revius, is wrong, because right now it's not mixed. So obviously, it's something just on its own right that is considered chashav, and even if you'll mix it, it'll be less than revius. So those are the two points that Abai asked on Rava. So Amalei Rava. Rava said, he responded on both points. Hodika amet shnei chelke mayim ve'eched yayim and yayin sharen. This that you're asking me from the Mishnah in Nida, that you see that the way they would mix the wine would be two parts water to one part wine from the yayin, from the wine of the Sharon region. That's how you can see this type of color of blood. If it has that type of color, it's considered dam nida. He says you can't prove to me from there, because yayin hasharoni l'chud derafi. The Sharon wine is an exception, because that is weak wine. And therefore, that wine, if you're going to mix it with more than two parts water, it's going to be totally diluted. It's not going to be real wine. So therefore, there has to be two parts water and one part wine. But regular wine, not from the Sharon region, which is stronger wine, there it's going to be, like I said, that it's three parts water to one part wine. Inami, another teretz for that question that you asked me about the two parts water to one part wine. Hasam shum chazusa. There, what we need for the wine, when we're talking about diluting it, we're talking about the main thing is the appearance. And that is that although that generally when we're going to mix wine with water, it's going to be three parts water with one part wine, because that you'll have the taste of wine. But the color of blood won't be only unless you have two parts water and one part wine. Because if you put in more water than that, then that blood will be like a yellowish type of blood, and that will be tahar. So therefore, as the Gemara says, avalataima ba'itvei, but for taste, you need to have more. You need to have three parts water to one part wine. That is the Mishnah over there in Nida says that the dilution of wine is two parts to water to one part wine. But that's because we're talking about when we want the color of wine, so to speak, which is the color of diluted wine, which is the color of one of the shades of Nida that will be tummy. But here we're talking about the taste. To have the taste of wine, that's for three parts water and one part wine, because the taste is stronger than the color, and therefore you're going to have three parts water and one part wine, like I said. And then he says, with the kamen mayim bekadim and stuff, and we're running your second question that you said, well, how does it help? You have water in the jug and you have the wine over here, so how is it going to be joining together to say that we're going to be considered just a chashva haitzah on the wine? Generally, regular beverages need a revius. Here we're talking about a quarter of revius, because when it's going to be mixed, how does it help right now? So he says, it's not true. Le'inyat Shabbos midi de chashabin. Regarding the haitzah of Shabbos, you need something that's significant. V'hanami ha'chashav, and this one is also significant. The reason why it's significant is because it's fit when you're going to dilute it with water. You'll only need water, which is something that's available. And then it's going to be fit for a kais chashav, for yain kais yafa, which is revius, because you have the required amount of wine. Now you could use three parts water to that one part wine. Therefore, yes, it's not a revius right now, but it's chashav, because it could be utilized for that purpose. Therefore, even if it's not mixed, and that is, as you said, the water is in the jug, still it's going to be considered haitzah on Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues in this topic of the haitzah of yayin. Tana, we learned, yavish, regarding wine that has congealed, that's dry, it's hard, then the shir of haitzah is bekizayis. That is because originally that was a revius of liquid. When it congeals, you take a complete revius, and the reason why you need a complete revius is because you can't take a solid and mix it together with water. So if you have to take, we're talking about a complete revius of liquid wine, that when that congeals, that turns into kezayis. So therefore, the shir v'itzah for something that's congealed wine would be kezayis. Divrei Rav Nosson, that's the opinion of Rav Nosson. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, he comments on this halacha of Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amri Dover Echad. Both of them say the same concept in halacha. And that is Rav Nosson, Hadamon. Reb Nosson is this that we just said, that when you have a liquid of revius, when it congeals, it's going to turn into a kazayis. And therefore, the shir b'tzav for congealed wine is going to be kazayis, because that's going to be the equivalent of revius of yain. Reb Yisrael Yehuda Tatanya, and it's Reb Yisrael Yehuda says the same thing in the Braisa. That he says, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda says, Shisha devar mekula b'shamay u'mechum b'sil. There are six things that are from the leniencies of b'shamay and from the stringencies of b'sil. That is, although generally b'sil is the mekel and b'shamay is the machmer, in these six cases, that's not only these. It's not only that these are the only places where b'shamay are mekel. There's many more that b'shamay is mekel. But it's just that when they came into the Karen b'Yavna, which is the yeshiva they had in Yavna, and each one said the testimonies that they had, which is how Masechtas Idius was made, which is from the word of Idius of Edus of testimonies. So this is what Rabbi Huda said about these six things. He said testimony that b'shamay was more mekel than b'sil, and one of the items was dam nevel, the blood of nevel of a dead animal. B'shami say that it's tahar, that is, it doesn't have the halacha, the blood, like the flesh of the animal, to be metame, to make ritually impure, as the halacha of nevela is in the shiv kizayis. Rather, the blood here will not convey tum in the shiv kizayis. But someone says, no, the blood has the same halacha as the flesh, just like the flesh conveys tum in the kizayis, so too the blood is going to be metame the tum of nevela. So Amr B'Yisrael Yehuda, he qualified this halacha of Basil that af kishtim Basil. Even this that Basil said that the blood will be metama like the flesh of the dead animal, like Timel Badam Shesh Revius, they said that it's only going to convey tuma if the blood has at least a revius. And that is Halaviochal Likrish Vlam Kazai. Since if it's going to congeal, that will then be the equivalent of the share of Kazai, which is how you measure in solids. That is again because the share of an avela to be metama a person is also has to be the share of Kazai. And therefore, to have the equivalent in liquid, it has to be a revius, because then when it congeals, it turns into kazayis. And that's exactly what, like we said, it's the same thing they're saying, that a kazayis of dry is that when it's liquefied, it's going to be revius. Again, that's why they said what they're saying, the same halacha. But on that, the Gemara says, I'm a baya, dimalahi. Maybe it's not true. And you could say either way, maybe they're not saying the same halacha, and they would disagree that the equivalent of a revius in liquid will be exactly a dried shear of a kazayis. That is, adkan lekam reb nasan hacha de bar revius. There's Reb Nosson that he says that here you need to have revius. In other words, that he said that a kazayis of something that's congealed needs to have a revius of liquid, and that is less than the revius of liquid, you're not going to have a kazayis when it's congealed. And that's why he said that when a kazayis of congealed wine, you'll have a revius, that's ele b'yayin de kolish. It's only by wine that's weak, and that is, it's something that it's thin. That is, when it's liquid, it takes up a lot of volume. And when it dries up to a very, very short, very small area. That's why by wine it needs to have a revius to turn into kezayis. But regarding blood that's thick, kezayis led by revius. Maybe there kezayis does not require revius of being liquid. And that is because blood, when it's liquid, it's very thick. And therefore it's very easily congealed. And when it dries up, it doesn't dry up to such a small amount. Rather, it only dries up, only gets shrinks a little bit. And therefore, a kazayis of yavish maybe doesn't need to have a revius of liquid. And therefore, it's possible that the dam and the vela would be metame even less than revius. That is not like the other opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Nosson would say that's not true. By blood, you won't need to have a revius of dam. Rather, you could even have less, because when it's going to congeal, it's going to be a kazayis. It doesn't need that much. Inam, alternatively, you could say the other way around. Adkan lekam Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda hasam the kazayis saga the revius. The second halacha that we said, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that says that regarding a kazayis of flesh, that we need to have the equivalent in blood, that it's enough to have the revius of blood, that's only by blood, the ilabadam de samach, because blood is something that's thick. Avayayin the cause, but maybe wine which is thin, kazayis have a yisim revius. Maybe kazayis of solid requires more than revius of liquid. And therefore, and therefore, if you take out less than a gezayis of congealed wine on Shabbos, maybe Yisrael Yehuda would hold that you're chayiv even less than a gezayis. And that is because less than a gezayis is going to be, will turn into a revius of wine, because wine is made of very thin, and therefore when the revius of wine thin or dries up, it turns into even to less than gezayis. And therefore, that would be the equivalent, and therefore maybe he holds nalik Reb Nosson, not that a gezayis that you'd be chayiv on Shabbos, but even less than the kezayis you'd be chayiv, because again, that would be equivalent of a revius of liquid, and therefore, what Abaye is basically saying is that you can't prove either way. You could say that there's a difference between their halachas, because one is talking about wine, which is thin, and one is talking about blood, which is thick. So now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. said one of the items that we said was chalav kedei gemiyah, that for the halacha of transporting milk, it's the amount of a swallow. That's how much of milk is considered haitza. So the Gemara says, ibaylahu, a technical question. Kedei gemiyah or kedei gemiyah? How is it spelled, this word of swallow? Is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So Amram Nachem Yitzchak. So we bring a pasuk in Bereishis that says when Eliezer told to Rivka, regarding when she wanted to pour the water for him and for his camels to drink, Hagmi'ini no ma'at mayim mikadech, pour me a little bit of your water that I could drink from your jug. Again, that's the swallow is that he was saying that I could drink is with an aleph, and therefore we see that the word gemiyah is with an aleph, not with an ayin. So similarly, the Gemara asks, Iboiluud, they asked the following question, we continue on to Amid Beis, garinen oy garinen, pits. How do you spell it, with an aleph or with an ayin? And this is regarding a Mishnah in the previous parak that said, chutz miklipasim garinen, besides for their shells and for their pits. So how's it spelled, is with an aleph or with an ayin? So Amar Rava bar Ula brings down the pasuk in Bayik, which discusses the amount of giving more when the person gives a certain field and for a certain amount of years for hektish, and then if he pays in towards it, he can diminish the amount that he has to wait till he gets it back. So it says v'nigre me'erkcha, that will be deducted from your valuation, and that we see that the word deduction is with an ayin, not with an aleph, and that's the same idea because the pits are thrown away when the person eats the fruit. And that is, it's deducted from the food items. So therefore, again, we see that pits are deducted. They're considered with an ayin, vinigra, and not with an aleph. Similarly, the Gemara asks, Iboilu, they ask the following question. Omemois oy oymemois. When something, when a coal is partially extinguished, is that with an aleph or with an ayin? And this is regarding halacha of coals that it's brought in Masechtas Pesachim and Perekei Tzitzilin, that talks about coals that you would think that it could be oymemois, that it's going out, so that's why it says Eish. You would think of Eish, it's a fire. So the word it talks about Oymemois, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So Amar Rizk bar Avdimi brings a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Arozim loya mamu begana likim, that cedars will not diminish his splendor in the garden of Hashem, and that is, it won't diminish its beauty and its splendor, that it should be more beautiful from it, and that's a reference to the Syrian kingdom. And therefore we see that the word amamuhu over there, of diminishing, is with an ayin, and now with an aleph, and therefore we see that this diminishing, partially extinguished things going out is with an ayin, now with an aleph. The Gemara brings more of the same type of questions. The Gemara asked, Ma'amtzin tanan oy ma'amtzin? We learned in our Mishnah, and this is later on regarding the eyes of a person that's dead in Perek Shoyel. So the question is, when they close his eyes, it says ma'amtzin, is that with an aleph or with an ayin? So Amar B'chiyah Barabba, Amar B'yechanan, brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, V'oitzim ein of mer ois barab, that he averts his eyes from seeing evil, that we see that averting a relation to the eyes of not seeing, it's with an ayin, not with an aleph. And therefore, when we're talking about closing the eyes of the dead person, is with an ayin, not with an aleph. Now the Gemara resumes what we discussed regarding the milk, that it's the shir beitzah is what's called kedei gemiyah. The amount of a swallow, that's considered a shir chashav of milk. So Tanban, we learn the braisa, ha-moitzi chalav shel behema. As our Mishnah is talking about milk, the milk of an animal, that's kedei gemiyah, that's the amount for a swallow. We have a chalav shel ish regarding the milk of a woman, but levin shel beya, or the white of a raw egg, that kedei litin b'meshipa, that's the amount to put into an application shel kiler of an ointment, that was the type of ointment that they put into the eyes, and that is, they would normally smear that with the milk of a woman, or with the raw white of an egg. Therefore, that's the amount of shir v'itzah that's necessary for these two items that would be put in this ointment that's put into the eyes. Regarding kiler itself, regarding the ointment, what's considered shir of itzah, that's kedei losha b'mayim, meaning after you made the ointment, then when it's actually used, you have to smear it with water. So the amount that would be necessary to smear it with water that would be enough for two eyes, that's the shir of itzah for the ointment itself. And again, as we said, that all these different things that are considered the minimum shir is things that can be usable, and that's the way it's normally used, that would be considered the shir of itzah. And that's why, regarding all these different items, for example, kiler, is the amount of this ointment would be only if it's usable, that it could be the amount that's mixed with the water and then used for the eyes. However, regarding this halacha that we just said of kiler, boyer vashi, kedei shipa or kedei achiz of a shipa? Did we say that when you take out kiler, it's enough to smear it with water, that then it could be used for the eye? Is it that amount, or is the amount that you could hold onto it and smear it? And that is, because when you take it, there's stuff that gets stuck onto the fingers besides what it goes into the eyes. So is it necessary to have the shear, which is the amount that could be mixed with the eye, although when you're holding it, you're going to have less than that? Or did we say you need to have the amount that can go into the eyes and that would get stuck onto the finger? And the thing about it says, take it, let it stand. We're not sure if it's a din be'esim, so to speak. Like, you need to have that shear, even though technically it's going to get stuck in the fingers. Or we're saying, no, it has to be enough to actually go into the eyes. And that is, we have to reckon also the parts that will get stuck onto the fingers. So now we resume discussing the mission that says, devash, the amount necessary for the itza of honey, can they lead nalakasas to put onto a sore? So the Gemara explains with the price. The Tana we learned, k'telitna al pikasas. It needs to be the amount that can be put onto the head of the sore. So on that, the Gemara brings a question, boyer vashi. Al kasas, when we said that it's the amount of honey that goes into the sore because that's what would they use to heal their sores, al kasas, apuma de kulakasas, is it on the face of the entire surface of this sore? Oh, idilmo, maybe amursha kamadachasas, or maybe it's the highest point of this sore. Lafuki hadran delay, that means to exclude all around that knot. In other words, it's the highest point that it goes on. Or do you say the whole surface, even not the highest point? Take it, let it stand. It's not clear. And when we said that it has to be alpikas on the head of the sore, if it means the tippy top head, or although it's like a mountain, all around on the top, and not necessarily the side and the bottom, let it stand. It's not clear which one it's a reference to. So regarding this topic of sores that we said that's the shia b'itza of the honey, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Kol Masha Bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ilamoy Le'bar Davar Echel Levatel. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in this world, he did not create not one thing that was needless. As the Gemara brings, Bar Shab L'Kasas, he created a slug. Why would he need a slug? For a sore. And that is that they would take the slug and put on the sore, and it would help. Bar Zvuv, why do you need a fly? Litzira, for a hornet. And that is, whoever gets stung by a hornet would then go ahead and take a fly and smash it and put it onto his sting, and it would help him. Yitish, lenochesh, why do you need gnats? Why do you need these mosquitoes? It's for a snake. And that is, if someone gets bitten by a snake, he uses the gnat. Venochesh lechafafis, and the snake for boils. Vesamamis laakrif, and the spider for a scorpion. And that is, again, that if he gets bitten by a scorpion, he smashes the spider and he puts it on, that helps him heal. So again, that we see that whatever Hashem makes is all for a purpose. There's nothing needless. We just have to know how to utilize it and tap into it. So now the Gemara says, and the Bach puts in the words, V'nochesh lechafafis, regarding the snake that we said that could be used for boils, hechi avale, what's the process to use that to help the boils? So ma'isi chada uchma v'chadachiv, you bring one snake that's black and one that's white, v'shokle, and it cooks them, v'shayfle, and he rubs it on, that helps for the boils. So that's one of the things that are necessary, that it's not just for a pointless thing. So now, regarding these different insects that we're discussing now, so the Gemara brings interesting Tarnabon learned the Braisa Chamisha Amos Hain, Amos Cholash Al Gibeh. There are five types of fears. That's the fear of the weak over the mighty. And that is, we have Amos Mafgia Alari, we have the fear of the Mafgia on the lion. And the Mafgia is a small little animal, but has a very large and shrieky voice. And when the lion hears it, he's afraid because he thinks it's this great animal coming and he runs away. That's, again, that's the fear of the weak, of the meek, over the mighty. The second one is imas yitrush al apil, the fear of the gnat on the elephant. And that is because the gnat enters the elephant's nose and it can't get it out, and therefore it, so to speak, ruins it and makes it more challenging for it. Although it's the weaker, it has the upper hand over the mighty elephant. Imas simamis ala akrif, you have the fear of the spider over the scorpion. And that is, it has the same type of element that it goes into the ear of the scorpion, the spider, and that's how it takes down the scorpion. Ema sinunis ala nesher, you have the fear of the swallow over the eagle, and that is, it goes under the eagle's wings and it prevents it from opening up its wings and taking off in flight, and that's how it gets in, so to speak, undercover. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is emas kilbis ala leviathan, the fear of the kilbis on the leviathan, which the kilbis is a small little tiny insect, and it goes into the ear of this mighty fish of the Leviathan, which is the largest fish. And again, that's how it takes it down. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Arav, Micro. What's a pasuk that conveys this concept about the weak overpowering the mighty? So it's a pasuk in Amos that says, Hamavlik shoyd alos, that he triumphs the weak over the mighty. That's the same idea, that although they're weak, they have these different capacities to overpower the mighty, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this kayach. So in this topic, about all these interesting ideas about the animals, it says, Rebzeira Ashkech Rabbi Yehuda, Rebzeira met Rabbi Yehuda, Davakoya Pischa de Bechamu, he was by the entryway of his father-in-law, V'chazi Dava B'dicha Daite, he saw that he was very lighthearted, so he was in a very good mood. V'yibayi Menei Kol Chaloli Aman, and if he would ask him anything that was under the sun, so to speak, anything that's in the whole cavity of the world, Hava Amalei, he would tell him, it's a good mood, he wouldn't be bothered by all these frivolous, so to speak, type of questions. So Amalei, my time is easy maskin bereish. He says, why is it that goats always go on the head of the flock? Vahadimri, and the sheep follow behind. So Amalei, Kibriyas Yisraelim, says the same thing as the creation of the world. The bereish hashuvcha, vahadunara, first it was dark, and then there was light. And that's the same idea that we have, because the goats are generally darker, and generally the sheep are white. And that's why the dark comes before the white, night comes before light. So then they asked him, "My time, what's the reason that the sheep, that they're covered in the rear with a tail, and the goats, they're uncovered because they don't have an algae, they don't have a tail?" So he says, "Hani de mechasinim minayu, those that we cover ourselves from them, that is generally we take from sheep, we make wool, and we cover ourselves with them. So mechasin, they're covered also, just like we cover ourselves from them. Hani de le mechasinim minayu, those that we don't cover ourselves from them, that is, we don't take the goats generally and make our clothing out of it. So megalnes, they're also uncovered." So he asked him then, "My time gamla zud de genufti, why is it that camels have short tails?" So he says, "Misham de ochel kisi, because they eat thorns." And that's why they needed short tails, so that their tails shouldn't get stuck on the thorns. So he says, "My time atura richi genufti, why is it that oxen have long tails?" He says, "Misham de doyer ba'agmin, because they dwell in swamps. And after chase away the gnats, you see their tail always swatting away. That's why they need a long tail." Says, "My time of karana de kamtzer chicha, why is it that the antenna of locusts are soft?" So it says, "Mishum de dari bechilfi, because they dwell in the willows. The akasha, and if their antennas were hard, nadia misavri, it would get dislodged when they would hit all the reeds that's in there, and they would get blinded." And that's, as the Gemara is going to bring from Shmuel, that their vision of their eyes depends on the antennas that they have. As the Gemara says, "Dama Shmuel, Hayman de boy de las milikam." So whoever wants to blind a locust, so then l'shalafin l'karan, he should remove his antenna. And that's the same idea. Why? That's why it had to be soft, so that it could be supple and not break when it bangs into the reeds that's in the willow that it lives. So then they asked him, "My time a haytimer de tanagolta midli le'ela. Why is it that the lower eyelid of the rooster raised above, up over the top one?" And that is, when he closes his eyes, the rooster, all the animals, the top one goes over the lower one. And however, regarding the eyelids of the rooster, it's the lower one that goes over the higher one. Why is that? So it says, "The diary adapted, because they dwell on boards." That is, by nighttime, they go on top of the boards, and they go on top of the roofs, and they go up on top higher. So therefore, you need a lower eyelid to go over the higher eyelid, because of the smoke that comes out of all the people's houses, that it shouldn't go into his eyes. As it says, "V'i'al kitcha misavri," because if the smoke would go into his eyes, we get blind. So therefore, Hashem made it that the low one should be over the higher one. That is, so therefore, when they always go up on the rooster, as we see the rooster, all the pictures, they go up on top of the houses, that the smoke should not enter their eyes. Then he asked him regarding the formation of words. It says, "Dasha, why is a door called Dasha?" So it says, because the word says it, Derech Sham, that's the way, that's the path to there, which is to the house. That's what's called Dasha, that's the door. So it says, why is a ladder called a Darga? It says, Derech Gag, that's the way to get up to the roof. So it says, then Maschoy Lisa, why is a dip, something that you would dip into, for example, Kutach or other types of dips, why is it called Maschoy Lisa? Says that's the contraction of the word Mosai Tichloda. When will this thing be finished? And Rashi brings two pshatim why. Either that is when this is going to be finished, what are we going to eat? Or he says, since it takes a long time to finish this dip, it takes a long time because all you do is dip a little bit into it, and therefore it's eaten very slowly. That's what the question is Mosai when Tichloda? When is this thing going to be finished? That's the name they used for dips. Why is the house called Besa? Because Ba ve'esiv ba, come and let us sit in it. That is because that's the thing that's generally used for houses, used to sit in it. It's called ba, siv, let's come and sit. So then the question was, why is a cramped and small little house called a biksa? Bei oksa, a narrow house. Then the question was, and Rashi brings three different interpretations for this word kofsa. Either it's a reference to a mortar, or it's a type of measurement for wheat, or it's a type of a general box of wood that's made for that putting in yeast. But it's also meant for sitting on, and it was designated for that, these types of boxes. So the question is, why is it called kofsa? Because kaif v'siv, turn it over and let's sit on it. That's why, because this box was always turned over and sat on it, like these crates that people always used to sit on, and although it's used for sodas, but you turn it over and sit in it, that's the same idea of these kofsa. The question is, why are bricks called livni? because livnei v'ni, that it's for the grandchildren, that it lasts for many generations, bricks will not deteriorate as quickly as other materials. The question is, why is a fence made out of thorns or different palm fronds made out of branches, why is that called chutzah? Because chatzitza, it's just a partition. In other words, not something that lasts a long time, it's just a chatzitza b'yama. Why is a barrel called a chatzba? Shechaytziv mayim en anar, because it mines water from the river. That's what the barrel does, and therefore it's called chatzba. Then the question is, a small little earthenware jug is called a kuza. Why is that? Kazeh, like this. In other words, something that's so small and very easy, that what's the big deal to give me from your wine as a gift in the kuza? That's what it's called kazeh. It's just like this, you know. It's nothing big. It's not a big deal. That's why it was called kuza. It's very small. Question is, why is a myrtle branch that they would dance in front of the kala called a shutisa? And that is because shutisa is that he looks like a fool when he's dancing in front of the kala. He's doing all this interesting dance. That's why this myrtle branch that they used to dance with was called a shutisa. Then a large bucket where everyone would wash their hands and their feet from, it was called the mishichla. Why is that? Because mashi chula, we're all washed from, that's called mishichla. Then there was a small little pitcher, which was very beautiful, it was called Meshichlasa. Why is it called Meshichlasa? Because Mashichalasa, that's where the bride washes from. That is, it's designated for Chashava people, for example, a Kala, a bride, and a respectable woman to wash from. That's why it was called Meshichlasa. Then a hand mortar was called Asisa. Why is that? That's related to the word chasirasa, because it's lacking, that it was missing the hollowed portion that's there with a larger one. That's why it was called asisa, related to chasirasa. Then a pestle, which is the thing that would bang on the mortar, that's called buchna. Why is that? Because boi va'akena, let us come and strike it. And that's what they would do with it. It would bang the things that they had to use to grind. Then a cloak, which was this outer cloak that they would wear, almost the equivalent of a coat, it was called levusha. Why is that? Because levusha, there's no embarrassment. In other words, something that prevents the embarrassment because it covers all his clothing underneath that are ripped and torn. Like sometimes someone will take a cloak and just throw it over to cover everything. That's why it was called levusha, because levusha. Why is an overcoat called a glima? Shenasabai kigalim, because then it becomes like shapeless because you don't see all the different features of his body. That's why it's called glima. It's like a golem is the term of when there's no shape. Then the Gemara says that a fine cape is called a gulsa. Why is that? Because gali ve'esiv, that I will reveal and then sit. That is, when he sits, he first reveals himself, that he shouldn't sit on the cloak itself, that it shouldn't get dirty, and that it shouldn't get torn on the ground, and it will rip out the hairs of the garment, and it's going to get worn out quick, like many people that have long coats, or when they wear a bekesha or a frock, they pick it up, and then they sit down, that let me reveal and then sit down, so it shouldn't get ruined. Why is a bed called a purya? Sheparin v'ravnala, because they proliferate and have kids over there. That's what's called a purya. That's parin v'ravnala. Then the empty pit that was emptied out of its water was called a barzinka. Why is that? Because barzeh naki, this pit is clean. In other words, it's emptied from its water. It's clean. It's empty. Then the custom of Tamid Chacham, of Talmudic scholars, that they would wear these kerchiefs around their head. That was called a sudra. Why is that? Because Soid Hashem Lireyev, that the secret of Hashem is given to those of Firm. That's again Sudra, Soid Lireyev. That was that they cover their heads with a kerchief to show the fear of God that they have, and that's why Hashem gives them his secrets. Then a palace of kings is called Napadna. And the reason is because Apischadein, that this entrance, in other words, for this entrance, everybody has to come, whether for judgment or to serve the king. That's what's called Apadna, that is Apischadein, this entrance. Either way, by hook or by crook, everyone has to come through this entrance. So now the Gemara concludes this discussion with Tanabon Abraisa that Shloisha, Kazman Shemeskinen, Mesivan Gvur. There are three things that the more they age, the more strength they get. Ve'elehen, these are them. Dog, fish, v'nochash, a snake, v'chazir, and swine. And these three things, although generally with age, things deteriorate, with age, these three things get stronger. So now the Gemara resumes discussing a Mishnah. That it said, one of the items was shemen, regarding oil, the shev itzel is kedei losach ever cotton, to anoint a small little limb on the body. That's enough to be considered haitzah for oil, which was used for anointing. So nothing more explains. Amid be Rabbi Yanai, shemen kedei losach ever cotton, the amount of oil necessary to take out for haitzah and Shabbos, the amount to anoint a small little limb, shel cotton bel yomei, And even the, for a child that's 1 day old, that is, there's two elements of cotton over here. We take a small little joint of his, of a finger of a child, that is, this cotton on both, not only cotton of one of the Ivarim, that is not only just a large Aver, but even, let's say, a pinky, one little Aver over here, and even cotton on the person, that is, even a child that's 1 day old, these two will be enough for the minor measurement of oil to be chayv. So the Gemara asks Meisvi, we learned in the Braisa, says Shemin, the amount of Haitzah for oil is K'dei Losach Aver cotton, to anoint a small little limb, doesn't say of who, V'katan ben Yaimer, and of a child a day old. So the Gemara says, my love, Aver cotton, the Gadol is talking about two different halachas. One is a small limb, or a limb of a small child. And that is, we have an Aver cotton, the Gadol, a small limb of an adult. That is, we're saying that when it says in our Mishnah that Aver cotton, it's going on the limb. That is, we're talking about an adult. When it says Aver cotton, it says a small little limb of an adult, of a Gadol, of a large person. And then the second item was, V'Aver Gadol Shekatan Mayemu, or a large limb of a child that's a day old. And that is, here the cotton is going on the person, but not on the limb, but not that you have both. It says either an Aver cotton or a cotton Mayemu, not like you said, Rabbi Yanai, that it's going to be on both, that it's enough to be a small limb and of a small person, rather either one, but you can't have both. That would be too small to be chayav for the Shir of Itzah on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. And this is what the Braisa was saying. Shemin k'dei losuch eber cotton shel cotton ben yami. It was both, that the word cotton is going on both on the person and is going on the limb. That is, a small limb of a small person will be enough for the shir of itzah on Shabbos. So the Gemara is of the Braisa, but then the Gemara says limit k'tanoim. Let's say it's really a machlekes tanoim, this statement of Rabbi Yanai, that if it's enough for the shir of itzah, that it's a small limb even on a small person, or either or, you can't have that small to be chayv in the shir of itzah. As we learned, Shemen k'dei losuch eber cotton v'cotton ben yomer, that the share of oil is the amount to anoint a small limb and a child that's 1 day old. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Lazar. Rabbi Nosson Yomer k'dei losuch eber cotton, the amount to anoint a small limb. That's all he says. So the Gemara said, my lab, what are they arguing about on this point? Rabbi Shimon Lazar saver eber cotton shokotten. As we resolve the brisa, the same terminology, he's also saying the same thing, that it's enough, the share of itzah on a small limb of a small person. Rav Nosson Saver, no. He only says this one term of Aver cotton. That is, either Aver cotton the Gadol, or Aver cotton the cotton. Either a small limb of a large person, or a large limb of a small person. Aval Aver cotton shall cotton ben yamalai. But a small limb of a small person, that not. And that's why he only said one term of Aver cotton. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Elazar had said both Aver cotton and cotton ben yamalai. And therefore we see that the statement is a machlekes tanoim. So the Gemara says, lie. It's not true. The kuli alma eva cotton the cotton ben yamalai. That in truth, everyone agrees that the small limb of a small person, that's not going to be enough for the share itself. We continue on the top of Ayin Chesem et Aleph. And that is Velesa Rabbi Yanai, that is, both of them don't agree to Rabbi Yanai. And when Rabbi Shimon Lazar said his statement, he was saying either or, either a small limb of a large person, or the opposite, that is a large limb of a small person, and that's the same shear. The Hacha B'Hakim Efekis, so what is the machlokes that we had over there? Rabbi Shimon Lazar Saver Aver cotton the Gadol v'Aver Gadol cotton ben Yoyim k'adadi ninu. He says either one or the other. He says both because they're both the same shear. A large limb of a small person is the same as a small limb of a large person. Rabbi Nosson Saver, no. The reason why he argues, he only says one term of Aver cotton, because he says Aver cotton the Gadol in. The shear of Itzah is a small limb of a large person. Aver Gadol cotton ben Yoyim k'adadi, but a large limb of a small person, that's not, because that's a different shear. And therefore, that's why he argues and he says that the shear of itzah is only going to be a small limb of a large person. Therefore, it's not necessarily that it's a machlokes, the halacha of Rabbi Yanai. That is, maybe they all disagree with Rabbi Yanai. And they both agree that the shear of a small person and his small limb is going to be too small. So Gemara says, Mahavala, so what was the result? What is the way we paskin on this Mishnah? So Gemara says, Toshma, we'll bring and we'll show you that the statement of Rabbi Yanai is a machlokes tanoim. Because Rabbi Shimon Lazar that we want to interpret, that he says, it's either or. We see Lahedya in the Braisa of the time, Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, Shemin k'dei losuch eva cotton shel cotton ben yam. He says explicitly that the amount to anoint is a small limb of a small person, and that's like Rabbi Yanai, and therefore we have, as we said previously, that it is a machlokes tanoim, and Rabbi Shimon Lazar is saying that you can have a small limb of a small person, both, as Rabbi Yanai said. Rabbi Nosson says that no, either one or the other, or at least the small limb of a large person, but not to have a small limb of a small person, and therefore that's the machlokes tanoim.